Now on radio.lds.org, the Mormon Channel presents Q&A.
Welcome to another edition of the Mormon Channel's Q&A, Questions and Answers. We ask you to provide us with the questions, and then we do our best to answer those questions for you. If you have a question for us, please feel free to send us an email. Our email address is radio@ldschurch.org. We would love to hear from you. We received a question that says, quote, "I personally find it very difficult to do missionary work. I was wondering what unified instructions have been given over the years from the brethren." Close quote. This is a wonderful question. It's an important question, and sometimes it can prove to be difficult. Our leaders, however, have provided us with detailed instructions so that we may more effectively share the gospel to those around us. It should be mentioned initially that this is a commandment, however, and as with all commandments, there is a blessing attached as we fulfill. In the 18th section of the Doctrine and Covenants, the Lord expressed his joy as his lost children are sought out and found. He said, quote, "Remember the worth of souls is great in the sight of God. For behold, the Lord your Redeemer suffereth death in the flesh. Wherefore he suffereth the pain of all men, that all men might repent and come unto him. And he hath risen again from the dead, that he might bring all men unto him on conditions of repentance. And how great is his joy in the soul that repenteth. Wherefore, you are called to cry repentance unto this people. And if it so be that you should labor all your days in crying repentance unto this people, and bring, save it be, one soul unto me, how great shall be your joy with him in the kingdom of my Father. And now, if your joy will be great with one soul that you have brought unto me in the kingdom of my Father, how great will be your joy if you should bring many souls unto me." Close quote. That from Doctrine and Covenants, section 18, verses 10 through 16. It's very true for many of us. This commandment is not the easiest to obey. We feel worried that our advances may alienate others and sour friendships. Such thought, though natural to some, are not thoughts of faith and do not come from the Lord. Our Heavenly Father instead surely wishes us to know in our hearts that he has never given us a commandment which we are not able to bear and fulfill. Perhaps Nephi in the Book of Mormon said it best as he reacted to the spirit of doubt expressed by his brothers. Quote, "And it came to pass that I, Nephi, said unto my father, I will go and do the things which the Lord hath commanded. For I know that the Lord giveth no commandments unto the children of men, save he shall prepare a way for them that they may accomplish the thing which he commandeth them." Close quote. That from 1 Nephi chapter 3, verse 7. Though missionary work may seem difficult, it is something that we have been commanded to do. But more important to the question, it is something that we can be spiritually enabled to do. Elder David A. Bednar spoke of the reality of this God-given power in our lives as we seek to fulfill his commandments. He spoke in the October 2004 General Conference.
Thus, the enabling and strengthening aspect of the atonement helps us to see and to do and to become good in ways that we could never recognize or accomplish with our limited mortal capacity. I testify and I witness that the enabling power of the Savior's atonement is real. Without that strengthening power of the atonement, I could not stand before you this morning. Can we sense the grace and strengthening power of Christ in the testimony of Ammon? "Yea, I know that I am nothing. As to my strength, I am weak. Therefore, I will not boast of myself, but I will boast of my God, for in his strength I can do all things. Yea, behold, many mighty miracles we have wrought in this land, for which we will praise his name forever." Truly, brothers and sisters, in the strength of the Lord, we can do and endure and overcome all things. As I walked out of the church administration building after my interview with President Hinckley Friday afternoon, I recalled the words of Enoch. "And when Enoch had heard these words, he bowed himself to the earth before the Lord and spake before the Lord, saying, Why is it that I have found favor in thy sight and am but a lad, and all the people hate me, for I am slow of speech? Wherefore am I thy servant? And the Lord said unto Enoch, Go forth and do as I have commanded thee, and no man shall pierce thee. Open thy mouth, and it shall be filled. And I will give thee utterance, for all flesh is in my hands. And I will do as seemeth me good. For all of us who feel unprepared and overwhelmed and unequal to a new calling or responsibility, the promise of the Lord to Enoch is equally applicable. The promise was true in Enoch's day, and it is true today.
That's Elder David A. Bednar. President Hinckley spoke of the strength that can come to our hearts as we realize our potential as missionaries of the Lord's truth. He said, quote, I believe with all my heart that the field is white, ready to harvest. I think the answer to an increased number of converts does not lie particularly in our methods, effective as those methods are. Rather, I think that we are living in the day of the fulfillment of the word of the Lord given through the prophet Joel and repeated by Moroni in the first visitation to the prophet Joseph Smith. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That from Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Great and magnificent as is the work of the missionaries who have been set apart, I'm convinced that we have a far greater force for teaching the gospel to the world in the membership of the church. Every man a missionary, as has been said here so convincingly tonight, every man a missionary. I think every member of the church has the capacity to teach the gospel to non-members. I was told the other day of a crippled woman, homebound, who spends her days in a wheelchair, who has been the means of bringing 37 people into the church. We need an awareness, an everyday awareness of the great power that we have to do this thing. Close quote. Once we come to a realization of our duty as member missionaries, we must find strength in that calling. We must have faith in the gospel message that we are commanded to proclaim. We must not shrink out of fear or shame. In his epistle to the Romans, the Apostle Paul expressed both his confidence as well as its source in one eloquent refrain, quote, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek, close quote. That from Romans chapter 1, verse 16. President Thomas S. Monson encouraged members of the church to engender that gospel same strength in their own lives. In his conference address in April 2009, President Thomas S. Monson tells us that we have to have courage.
My final plea tonight is that you have the courage to stand firm for truth and righteousness. Because the trend in society today is away from the values and principles the Lord has given us, you will almost certainly be called upon to defend that which you believe, unless the roots of your testimony are firmly planted. It will be difficult for you to withstand the ridicule of those who challenge your faith. When firmly planted, your testimony of the gospel of the Savior and of our Heavenly Father will influence all that you do throughout your life. The adversary would like nothing better than for you to allow derisive comments and criticism of the church to cause you to question and doubt. Your testimony, when constantly nourished, will keep you safe. Recall with me Lehi's vision of the tree of life. He saw that many who had held to the iron rod and had made their way through the mists of darkness, arriving at last at the tree of life and partaking of the fruit of the tree, did then cast their eyes about as if they were ashamed. Lehi wondered as to the cause of their embarrassment. As he looked about, he beheld on the other side of the river of water a great and spacious building. And it was filled with people, both old and young, both male and female. And their manner of dress was exceedingly fine. And they were in the attitude of mocking and pointing their fingers toward those who were partaking of the fruit. The great and spacious building in Lehi's vision represents those in the world who mock God's word and who ridicule those who embrace it and who love the Savior and live the commandments. What happens to those who are ashamed when the mocking occurs? Lehi tells us, and after they had tasted of the fruit, they were ashamed because of those that were scoffing at them, and they fell away into forbidden paths and were lost. My beloved young sisters, with the courage of your convictions, may you declare with the Apostle Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation.
That's President Thomas S. Monson. As often as the Lord establishes the letter of the law, he likewise offers a joy that comes as we become immersed in the spirit of that same law. In regards to our call as member missionaries, it's important to hearken yet again to the Lord's message in Doctrine and Covenants, section 18. The Lord's purpose is clear. He rejoices in the salvation of his children. He loves us so fully that even the heavens rejoice, even as one soul repents. As we attempt to feel that same love, however imperfect it may be in comparison, we will begin to see others as the Lord sees them. President George Albert Smith spoke of the results of such a divine prospect concerning our fellow man. He said, quote, "Do we realize that every man is in the image of God and is a son of God, and every woman his daughter? No matter where they may be, they are his children, and he loves them and desires their salvation. Surely, as members of the church, we cannot sit idly by. We cannot receive the beneficent favor of our Heavenly Father that is bestowed upon us, the knowledge of eternal life, and selfishly retain it, thinking that we may be blessed thereby. It is not what we receive that enriches our lives. It is what we give." Close quote. As we ponder upon the conditions of our brothers and sisters, our hearts may be moved like those of the sons of Mosiah, of whom it was said, quote, "Now they were desirous that salvation should be declared to every creature, for they could not bear that any human soul should perish. Yea, even the very thoughts that any soul should endure endless torment did cause them to quake and tremble." Close quote. That from Mosiah chapter 28, verse 3. As we attempt to find and develop divine motivations, we must also learn to act. First, it is incumbent upon each one of us to live our lives as examples. In the New Testament, the Savior taught this power principle. Quote, "Ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill and cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Close quote. That from Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. In a recent conference address, Elder Russell M. Nelson spoke specifically of this admonition. From the October 2010 General Conference, here's Elder Russell M. Nelson.
Paul's counsel, "Be thou an example of the believers," applies equally to members. Most have not been and may never be full-time missionaries, but all can be member missionaries. That statement reminds me of a report of a humorous event. On a large playing field at a missionary training center, a sign was posted. It read, "Missionaries only." People who also wanted to play on that field posted a new sign of their own. Their sign read, "Every member a missionary." Each member can be an example of the believers. Brethren, as followers of Jesus Christ, each of you can live in accord with his teachings. You can have a pure heart and clean hands. You can have the image of God engraven upon your countenance. Your good works will be evident to others. The light of the Lord can beam from your eyes. With that radiance, you had better prepare for questions. The Apostle Peter so counseled, "Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you."
That's Elder Russell M. Nelson. You're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A, Questions and Answers. We received a question a couple of weeks ago that says, quote, "I personally find it very difficult to do missionary work. I was wondering what unified instructions have been given over the years from the brethren." Close quote. Whether we are approached directly by those not of our faith or we act proactively, we will surely be asked questions regarding our testimonies. In the October 2010 General Conference, Elder Russell M. Nelson spoke of the manner that our responses should adopt.
Let your response be warm and joyful, and let your response be relevant to that individual. Remember, he or she is also a child of God, that very God who dearly wants that person to qualify for eternal life and return to him one day. You may be the very one to open the door to his or her salvation and understanding of the doctrine of Christ.
That's Elder Russell M. Nelson. We should ponder the questions that are asked to us. In preparing to share our feelings, we should consider the great joy that the gospel brings to our lives. President Dieter F. Uchtdorf spoke of the simple joy that comes from considering the restored truths of the gospel. His message is one that should exist in our hearts as we try to express the effects of the gospel in our lives. From the October 2010 General Conference, here's President Dieter F. Uchtdorf.
Brothers and sisters, let us be wise. Let us turn to the pure doctrinal waters of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us joyfully partake of them in their simplicity and plainness. The heavens are open again. The gospel of Jesus Christ is on earth once more. And its simple truths are a plentiful source of joy. Brothers and sisters, indeed, we have great reason to rejoice. If life in its rushed pace and many stresses have made it difficult for you to feel like rejoicing, then perhaps now is a good time to refocus on what matters most. Strength comes not from frantic activity, but from being settled on a firm foundation of truth and light. It comes from placing our attention and efforts on the basics of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. It comes from paying attention to the divine things that matter most.
That's President Dieter F. Uchtdorf. Yet another direction from our leaders has been to utilize the Book of Mormon as we attempt to preach the gospel. The Lord has prepared the Book of Mormon for our times, to be applied to the lives of those currently living on the earth. This profound truth makes the Book of Mormon a unique tool in sharing the restored gospel. In the October 2005 General Conference, Elder L. Tom Perry talks about the blessings resulting from reading the Book of Mormon.
Why is the reading of the Book of Mormon so important to us today? It is because the major writers of the Book of Mormon fully understood that their writings were primarily for the people of a future generation rather than for the people of their own generation. Moroni wrote to our generation, "I speak to you as if ye were present." The prophet Nephi stated, "Wherefore, for this cause hath the Lord God promised unto me that these things which I write shall be kept and preserved and handed down unto my seed from generation to generation, that the promise may be fulfilled unto Joseph, that his seed should never perish as long as the earth should stand." The Book of Mormon is a voice of warning to this generation. See how vividly it describes conditions on the earth today. "No one need say these records shall not come, for they surely shall. For the Lord hath spoken it, for out of the earth they shall come, by the hand of the Lord, and none can stay it. And it shall come in a day when it shall be said that miracles are done away with. And it shall come even as if one should speak from the dead. And it shall come in a day when the blood of the saints shall cry unto the Lord because of secret combinations and works of darkness. Yea, it shall come in a day when the power of God shall be denied, and churches become defiled and lifted up in the pride of their hearts. Yea, even in a day when leaders of churches and teachers shall arise in the pride of their hearts, even to the envying of them who belong to their churches. Yea, it shall come at a day when there shall be heard of fires and tempests and vapors of smoke in foreign lands. And there shall also be heard of wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes in diverse places. Yea, it shall come in a day when there shall be great pollution upon the face of the earth. There shall be murders and robberies and lyings and deceivings and whoredoms and all manner of abomination. When there shall be many who will say, do this or do that, it mattereth not, for the Lord will uphold such at the last day. But woe unto such, for they are in the gall of bitterness and in the bonds of iniquity.
That's Elder L. Tom Perry. Elder Nelson demonstrated the converting power of the Book of Mormon. In a recent conference, he shared an experience regarding his efforts at sharing the Book of Mormon with those around him. From the October 2010 General Conference, here's Elder Russell M. Nelson.
Many years ago, two colleagues of mine, a nurse and her doctor husband, asked me why I lived the way I did. I answered, because I know the Book of Mormon is true. I let them borrow my copy of the book, inviting them to read it. A week later, they returned my book with a polite thanks a lot. I responded, what do you mean, thanks a lot? That's a totally inappropriate response for one who's read this book. You didn't read it, did you? Please take it back and read it. Then I would like my book back. Admitting that they'd only turned its pages, they accepted my invitation. When they returned, they said tearfully, we have read the Book of Mormon. We know it is true. We want to know more. They learned more, and it was my privilege to baptize both of them.
That's Elder Russell M. Nelson. You're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A, Questions and Answers. If you have a question for the Mormon Channel, we would love to hear from you, especially if you have a question. You can send your questions to us at radio@ldschurch.org. We received a question a couple of weeks ago that says, quote, I personally find it very difficult to do missionary work. I was wondering what unified instructions have been given over the years from the brethren, close quote. In addition to the Book of Mormon, the Lord has provided us with many possible sources as we seek to spread the gospel message. In the same conference address, Elder Nelson spoke of a powerful tool of technology that is available to us.
Now, in this day of the internet, there are new and exciting ways you can do missionary work. You can invite friends and neighbors to visit the new Mormon.org website. If you have blogs and online social networks, you could link your sites to Mormon.org. And there, you can create your own personal profile. Each profile includes an expression of belief, an experience, and a testimony. Because this is a new feature, most of these profiles are available in English. Profiles in other languages will follow. These profiles can have a profound influence for good. 2 months ago, a young man named Zach, a freshman in college, saw an ad for Mormon.org on television in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He connected with the website and was intrigued by the profiles of church members. At our website, he found the link that informed him where he could attend church. The next Sunday, dressed in a white shirt and tie, he attended church, was introduced to members of the ward, and enjoyed all 3 hours of meetings. He was invited to a member's home for dinner, followed by his first missionary lesson. In less than 2 weeks, he was baptized and confirmed as a member of the church.
That's Elder Russell M. Nelson from the October 2010 General Conference. Another blessing in the missionary effort is the inspired edition of the manual, Preach My Gospel. In speaking of this missionary tool, Elder Scott explained that it is not limited to use by full-time missionaries. In his conference address in April of 2005, Elder Scott talks about Preach My Gospel.
One mission president's wife studied and pondered every word in Preach My Gospel, including every scriptural reference. She then did something she had not had the courage to do. She invited a close relative to study and ponder the Book of Mormon. That individual accepted her invitation and has been greatly benefited. Another family uses Preach My Gospel to help prepare children for missions. They reported, "Our 17-year-old was the first to get an assignment. As expected, he looked for the shortest segment in the book. His lesson, however, was a 20-minute heartfelt expression of the principles, complete with scriptures and testimony. From a father preparing a son for missionary service, Preach My Gospel has given me perspective and clear understanding of the purpose of life, my duties and responsibilities as a member of the church, as a father and as a husband. It has also given me concrete tools to better pursue that journey." That son was called to be a missionary yesterday. I encourage you to use these materials in your presidency, priesthood executive committee meetings, and in ward councils to assure that those who take upon themselves the covenants of baptism receive throughout their lives the full fruits of church membership. Through the use of the new progress record for individuals preparing for baptisms, missionary and member efforts can be powerfully coordinated. I am confident that more new converts will find it easier to fulfill their desire to remain active as members and missionaries work together using the principles and Preach My Gospel.
That's Elder Richard G. Scott. As our available tools increase, so must our efforts. President Benson commented on the responsibility associated with the growing means available to us as member missionaries. He said, quote, "As members of the Lord's Church, we must take missionary work more seriously. The Lord's commission to preach the gospel to every creature will never change in our dispensation. We have been greatly blessed with the material means, the technology, and the inspired message to bring the gospel to all men. More is expected of us than any previous generation. Where much is given, much is required." Close quote. Most importantly, we must always be willing to take the next step. Once we have shared, once we have answered with joy, once we have acted as righteous examples, we must then invite. As we follow the Spirit, we will learn how best to build upon the foundation that we have sought to develop with a particular person. We may feel prompted to invite them to church, or maybe we'll feel inspired to invite them into our homes to meet with the missionaries. If we put forth the effort, the Lord will not leave us in the moment that we are in need. By inviting our brothers and sisters to act, we will be helping them to plant their own seed, one which, if nurtured, will from the fertile soul of the gospel spring up unto everlasting life. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of the Mormon Channel's Q&A. If you'd like to download this episode of Q&A as a podcast, it's free. Just go to our website, radio.lds.org. And if you have a question for the Mormon Channel, please send us an email, radio@ldschurch.org. Thank you so much for listening to the Mormon Channel.
You've been listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A on radio.lds.org.